The Jewish Heritage Foundation presents The Epic of the Eternal People, an in-depth study of Jewish history based on original source material given by Rav Shmuel Irons, Rosh HaKollel, Dean of the Kollel Institute of Greater Detroit, one of the leading centers of Talmudic research and community education in North America. This lecture, titled The Calendar, is the seventh of a 15-part series from the exile of the 10 tribes to the reign of Herod. This lecture was originally given at Machon LaTorah, the Jewish Learning Network of Michigan, and is dedicated to the memory and Le'ilui Nishmas Rachel Bas Rav Yitzchak Moshe Olecha HaSholem, Mrs. Rachel Heisler of blessed memory.
Over the period of the last 6 lectures, we witnessed the rise and fall of empires, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, and its rebuilding. We started from the Assyrian conquest of Eretz Yisrael, the northern kingdom. Our last class, we left off with the Greek conquest under Alexander the Great. All in all, we covered a period of some 250 years. The system of dating that we used is the traditional Jewish dating system. There is, as we pointed out last time, an alternate system of dating, and that is the normally accepted secular dating. Under that system, it was the period from the Assyrian conquest to the conquest under Alexander was a period of some 400 years. As we pointed out, though, at the end of the last class, as well as in several other classes, there is much compelling evidence, both internal, in terms of scriptural evidence, and external, archaeological findings and midrashic traditions, to support the traditional dating system. Tonight, I would like to pause from the sweep of history and to analyze the whole basis of our calendar, because really it is so important, both in the analysis of history, to have the correct dating, and also, as we're going to point out, how the idea of the dates and the times are not mere curiosities, but actually impact on our lives and our halacha, and the halacha works out through our calendar, is really affected by how we understand the dates of these events. If we have time, hopefully at the end of the class, we will touch upon another problem in terms of dating, which is the age of the earth. And perhaps, again, if there's a bit more time, we'll deal with problems in Egyptian chronology in terms of the Exodus, who was the Pharaoh of the Exodus, when it occurred, and how that impacts on our understanding of history. I'd like to begin now, here it's on page 1, with giving an understanding, analysis of how we came to our present calendar. Notice if you look at our calendar, it will read that this year is 5,753. How was that date? How did we come on to that date? Why is that accepted as the date? And if we begin here, if you notice on section A, from Adam to the destruction of the Second Temple, if we go through the verses, verse after verse, that deals with dating, you notice on the left-hand column, we increase the years that have passed by. In other words, Adam lived 130 years and had a child. So there's 130 years on the left-hand column. Seth, Chase, his son, lived 105 years and in turn had a son, Enosh. So we add 105 to the 130 and we get 235. If you follow it carefully here, each column, you will see that as as life progressed, so to speak, the left-hand column increases. So that when Noah was born, for instance, you have a number 9 here on page 1, there's 1,056 years have passed. When you get to line 11, in the 600th year of Noah, which would seem to be, and this is how the Yerushalmi learns, at least according to one comment, that it was in the 600th year, 600 years had not passed yet. Those 599 years had passed. He was in the 600th year. Then the year would be 1655. In other words, 1,655 years have passed. When we get to 1658, that's number 13, we have already when Shem begot, started, and as the son, this is the father of the Semites, when he started having children. And we go now to page 2, and you'll see how it, if you'll just see how it correlates year after year. We get to number 21. Terach lived 70 years and begat Avram, the oldest son. We have the number 1,948, meaning that 1,948 years had passed since the creation of man. As if one follows, just simply one goes verse after verse and creates one's own dating system. And if you see number 22, according to this, and number 23, according to the Seder Olam, which is the what we call the accepted basis of our dating, and this is really the basis we're going to say for our whole calendar. When Avram got the prophecy that his seed would be subservient for some 400 years, Avram at that time was 70 years old. In number 24, fine, after 2,048 years had passed, Avram was 100 years old, he begat, this is Yitzchak, Isaac. And now we turn to number 25, and you look in the left-hand column, that after 2,448 years had passed, the Exodus occurred. It's because all we're doing is just keep on adding the years. This is the if you those who've seen any textbooks or are familiar, this is the commonly given year of the Exodus. The next quote we have, though, every up until now, from Numbers 1 till 25, is in the Torah. The next source for our dating comes from the book of Kings, Sefer Melachim. And here there's a passage that after 480 years from the Exodus, the temple was built. And then we get the number 2,928. According to the Seder Olam, this is the Gemara Bava Basra, this is really based on a careful reading of the text in the book of Kings itself, the first temple stood for 410 years. And then we get the number on the left-hand column. 70 years after the first temple was destroyed, the second temple was built. Number 29 is a very important number in understanding the calendar. The number 3,448 was the period of time when what would be called a standardized dating system was used. The Greek king, in other words, he was from Greek extraction, Macedonian extraction, who was one of the generals of Alexander, who at his passing received a portion of what was Alexander's empire, was Seleucid. And from the time of his reign, a dating system began. that began in his reign and really kept on going when Greece and Syria were no longer powers. So he started numbering his own reign. His children, in turn, kept that system. They didn't count, as was common before, every king would just count his own particular reign. Every king after Seleucid would look that his reign is built on the previous reign. So that, for instance, we know the story of Hanukkah. When Antiochus carried off all the vessels of the temple, carried off the menorah, converted the Beis HaMikdash temple into an idolatrous temple, that is dated 148 in the Seleucid dating system. And that's how we know when that occurred. Well, 145, excuse me. When 3 years later, to the day, this is the 25th of Kislev, when the Maccabees were victorious, that was dated in the year 148 of this system, beginning from this date. Throughout the whole period of the Talmud, this was the standardized number. If a ksuba would be written, a get would be written, there would be a document to borrow funds, they would all use the date, and year one was this year. In fact, the Rambam quotes this date. The Gaonim, in dating, use this system. And it wasn't until the Middle Ages, until the 1400s, that the system that we know now, that we used from Bris Olam, from creation, supplanted the Seleucid system of dating. So you will find in the early Rishon, the early authorities of the Middle Ages, all dating from this would be called, this is Lemisper Shtoris, and this is from the counting of documents for this is Malchei Yavan, for the Greek kings. And the Greek system was the system up until some 500 years ago, 600 years ago. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah makes the comment, by the way, that this date is 1,000 years after the Exodus. So we have just another way of dating the Exodus. The second temple stood for 420 years. This is number 30 on this one, page 2. And then we get the date, this is, of 3,828. Now, it's important to note, and there's much room for error here. One would naturally assume, well, if you see a date 3,828, you would assume, well, if I want to convert it into the system that we use now in the Common Era, there's a system that if you subtract 3,760 from the date, the commonly Jewish date, the date from creation, we get this is our date. In other words, we subtract from 5,753, we take away 3,760, we will get 1993. Under that system, if we would make that same subtraction here, we would get the year 68. However, if you look in your history books, the commonly accepted date for the destruction of the Second Temple was the year 70. How do these two numbers correlate? Was it 68 or was it 70? So as I said before, again, when we looked how this system came about, we were dealing with how many years have passed, right? There's 130 years. Let's go. Turn back to page 1, number 1. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. Right? That means 130 years have passed. Let's say, for instance, we'll make the assumption that the creation of Adam was the first day of Tishrei. We're going to go back to that soon. He lived 130 years. His birthday was again the first day of Tishrei. What year was that? If it would be made, we'd be in the calendar business. What year, how would we date that? The year 131. Because the first year of Adam's life was not year zero, was year one. When we number years in a calendar, we give the number for the year we are in, not how many years have passed. His first year was year one. His second year is year two. So again, if I would be making a calendar, if Adam HaRishon would be making a calendar here, right? He would be printing it. I guess they didn't have bookstores in those days. But he was printing it. He would have year one. And when his child was born, Chase was, and he had his calendar next to his telephone, and he was looking, it would read year 131. So then, getting back again on page 2, number 30, if we would date then the destruction of the temple, then that year would not be 3828, but would be 3829. But all of this went by the assumption that when we date from the creation of man. Because this whole dating is really from man. Adam was 130, he had a son. His son was 105, had another son. It kept on increasing, starting from the creation of man. But if we're looking at creation as a whole, not man, then we have a different problem. Because the world, if we take the text literally, there were 5 days before man came on this earth. This man came on the earth on the sixth day. So assuming that man came on the earth on the first of Tishrei, what would we call the fifth day of creation, the day before he was created? We would call it the 29th of Elul. Working backwards then, creation occurred on the 25th of Elul, unless they didn't have Elul. But if we would want to designate a number and a name to that day, we would call it the 25th of Elul. Now, let's get back to the calendar that's hanging next to the telephone of Adam HaRishon, right? He has it, and he puts it's the year. He is born in the year. He's created in the year. Up until now, we had year one. But if we want to be accurate about this, we should really call it year two. It was just a very short year. Accountants are aware of these short years. But it was just a very short year. So we had a brief year from the 25th of Elul to the 29th of Elul. That was really year one then. I mean, when we're dealing not with Adam, we're dealing with creation as a whole. Because you notice, if you ever look at a ksuba or whatever, it says, Mibriyas Ha'olam. So it doesn't say man. It says from the creation of the world. So using this as a dating system of the world then, the world was created on, again, if we would just call it names, there were no names then, but we would call the equivalent name of the 25th of Elul. Year one, Adam came to this on this planet in the year two. So then, when Adam had his first child, Chase, and again he's looking at the calendar. What if he would be using the system Mibriyas Olam from the creation of the earth? Then the number on his calendar would read year 132. Now, 130 years had passed. We're going to add another 2 years onto that calendar. Because this is the 132nd year, right, from the creation. In other words, it was a very small year, the first one, and then we had normative years afterwards. Getting back now to number on page 2, number 30, the second temple. The second temple stood for 420 years, and we have in the left-hand column 3828, means that 3,828 years had passed, but if we would be making a calendar then, we would put it the year 3,830. Again, if that's our number, and we're going to subtract the difference between the standard Jewish calendar and the what would be called the accepted secular calendar, we subtract 3,760 from it,
we get the year 70. And that's why, on that basis, that is why we'll find in our textbooks that the destruction of the temple took place in the year 70. You know, like they said, you know, you ain't seen nothing yet. This up until now was easy, okay? Yeah. You've probably in shul every time we had a few weeks ago, Mirtz Hashem will be next Shabbos. You know, in the middle is when we make the bracha for the new moon, for the new month, right? The gabbai gives the shamash gives a klap in the shul, and either says in Yiddish or in English, the moilet is going to be so many hours, yes, so many this, and so many chalokim. After a certain time. Have you ever wondered what those chalokim are? What are those chalokim? What does that mean? And say, how did he get that number anyway? You know, what is it? How do they? Where do they? What does that number come from? So I am really. If you have, I suggest really that this whole thing you should laminate, because if you ever got stuck in a desert, you will be able to reconstruct and know every molad that has ever occurred and will occur. The first thing we have to know, we're going to step by step over here. How do we get the molad? What are chalokim? What is the whole? What is this whole system here? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a very good question. But you hold your questions till the end. Yeah. No, really, what the molad does is it states when the months occur. And when the months occur, the base is what on we're not going to, that would be too long for this session of this. There's a system. If I know the molad, I will know when Rosh Chodesh is. I will know when all the holidays are. Knowing the molad is really my key to create a calendar. And as we're going to say that the molad, what that point of the molad is, when the new moon occurs, is based on what year of the calendar I'm in. In other words, of course, if this is not the year 5753, but I will have historically going through the records and find, no, this is really year 5748. My whole molad is different. The whole new moon is different. Then, of course, all the holidays are different. How I make my Jewish calendar and how I'll say what day Purim will be and what day Pesach will be is based on knowing when the new moon is. And as we're going to see, knowing when exactly the new moon is, or at least this is the assumption of all the calculations that have been made, is based on knowing history. If you turn to page 3, okay, and it's paragraph B, item 1. There is, we touch upon this, that there is the first 5 days of creation are a short year, but they are counted as a year. There are only actually, again, we're assuming a literal reading of the text, and it was that assumption that the calendar is made. Of course, there was nothing before those 5 days, of course. But let's pretend there was. You know, it's like the old joke that the Shadchan was telling this prospective room, a yeshiva bachar who had never gone out with a girl, and he said, you know, you have to speak about 3 things to the girl, because he didn't know what to say. He says, speak of 3 things. You have to speak about family. You have to speak about, you know, her likes and dislikes. And speak a little philosophy. So, boy really never had much experience, and he sat down with the girl, and he started talking, and he asked if she had any siblings, you know, brothers or sisters. She said no. And that was the end of that. So he went on to the likes and dislikes, and he asked her, you know, hast du lieb Lakshin, you know what I mean? He says, do you like noodles? She said no. Okay, that was as much as he wanted to go in terms of likes and dislikes. So now he had to work with philosophy, and he says, if you would have a brother, do you think he would like Lakshin? In a similar sense, we are dealing with a year that did not exist. In other words, there are only 5 days. This is a very abbreviated year. But had there been a true year, working backwards, in other words, Oda Mauritian, when he came onto this planet, saw the moon in a certain position. He would understand, working backwards, it was a year before, what if truly there would have been a world there, what position would have been there? This is important just as a hypothetical constant in terms of calculations. It's just very difficult to deal with five days a year. So we deal hypothetically with a year which would have been a full year just for calculations. There's a Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Ches that explains that the first Molad, was the first new moon, occurred on the creation of man, this is the first of Tishrei, after two full hours of the day had been completed. In other words, 12 hours of night, 2 hours of day, the beginning of the third hour. Those 2 full hours had finished. That was the first molad, was the first sighting of the new moon when Adam was on this planet, when he was around. Working backwards, and we're going to explain the system soon, working backwards, the what would be called the molad tohu, as you see on now is number 2 in paragraph 2, paragraph B, is baharad. In other words, this theoretical constant we're doing is on Adam was created on the sixth day. Working backwards, and there's again this theoretical, this artificially constructed year, the new moon then would be on Beis, as you see in the Hebrews Baharad. Beis is Monday. Hey means 5 hours. Means if we assume that a sunset would be 6 o'clock, so 5 hours would be 11 o'clock at night. There's really a Sunday night. And 204 chalakim. We're going to explain what the chalakim are soon. But it's equivalent of 11 minutes and 20 seconds. This baharad is the launching point of all calculations. All calculations begin from this artificially or hypothetical number called Baharad. If those are familiar with the Arachim program, this is the that extensively use the idea of codes in the Torah. They found amazing, amazing things of whole messages, whole bits of information that are embedded in the Torah, that you find the letters at equidistance. For instance, is the word Bereshis. So the Torah says that the first word Bereshis. So the Tof of that word Bereshis, if you count 50 letters, you'll get a Vav. You count another 50 letters, you'll get a Resh. You'll get another 50 letters, and you get a Hey, and it spells Torah. What's interesting is if you go to the book of Shmos, Ela Shmos, you go with the Tof of Shmos, you get the same thing. And if you start with Bamidbar and Dvorim, from the beginning, it spells Torah backwards. The first reference of this kind of messages of the Torah is we find published, at least, by Rabbeinu Bachaya. He was one of in the 14th century, he was one of the leading scholars. And he refers to a different kind of embedded message, but the number is not 50 in between the various letters, but the distance is the number 42. 42 has important significance, is that one of the most holy names of Hashem is a 42-letter name. This is Shem Shomem Beis. It was said very infrequently in the temple. It has much significance. If you look now at number 3, paragraph B, Bereshis Bara Elokim, you'll see it's highlighted. Every 42nd letter, it spells out Beis, Hey, Resh, Dalet, Baharad. As it's hinted, this is at least a thesis of Rabbeinu Bachaya based on this, that the beginning of the Torah hints to the existence of this number. And explains the importance of it, really, because this is the basis of our whole calendar. And we're going to go through this. But this is the number from which we start. Now, we now go down to section 2, calculating the new moon. Okay, again, up until now it was very easy. Okay? So, I mean, but it should basically be clear here that the basic contention is when we are talking about the year 5,753, we are saying 5,752 years have passed. Those years include that shortened year, right? And we are entering now the 5,753rd. Okay. Now, again, section 2 here, calculating the new moon. An hour, what are chalukim? An hour is divided into 1,080 parts. The word chalik means part. Each part, every chalik is 3 1/3 seconds. So when they say it's 6 chalukim, and you want to know how you convert that into seconds, just multiply by 3 1/3, and you will get your number. That is what a chalik is. What the distance between, if you follow, and you could check this out afterwards, the difference between one molad, one new moon, and the next new moon is a constant, never changes. At least that is the basis of our calendar. And that is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalukim. Or 44 minutes and 3 1/3 seconds. That is the number which is the basis of our calendar. As you want to know, the molad, as the sighting of the new moon, is they'll call out in shul one number. You can be sure if you add to what he called out last time, and he doesn't call it this time, find yourself a different shamash. In other words, that is not the right. In other words, this is a constant. And that's number C. The difference between one month and next will always be this. Okay? Now, that's one month. And I want to know in halacha, when dealing with day-to-day life, we don't say, well, you know, the new moon is going to be at 3 o'clock, you know, so therefore, well, then the new month starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When we deal with months, we're dealing with whole days. So even though the new moon will occur at a certain hour, the change, though, does not occur at that point. It could occur this day, it could occur the next day. The declaration of what day will actually be ritually the Rosh Chodesh, legally the Rosh Chodesh, will not necessarily be the same day that the new moon is sighted. But it is a reference point. It'll be around then. The system, what determines when that actually will be, is really a whole class in itself. But at least this is, that there is a system which is exact and is based on when that new moon will occur. So, again, with the information you have now, you won't know exactly what day Rosh Chodesh will be. And that's what day the new month will begin, which is based on a system which we don't have time to discuss right now. But one thing you will know afterwards is when the molad will be. Is when will the new moon be? If one period from one new moon to the next new moon, right, is 29 days, 12 hours, right? So I want to know in terms of days of the week. Notice, last time they called it out, it was on Monday at 1 o'clock in the morning, for instance. That was the molar. They called out it's going to be Monday, 1 o'clock in the morning. When will it occur next month? What is the difference between month to month? Well, 29 days is 28 days, which is a whole week plus one day. So therefore, if it occurred on Monday, 1 month, we're going to get to 29 days. It means 28 days have passed. Right? Then we get to 29 days. We move it over one more day. And then we get 12 hours and 793 parts. So for instance, if it's going to be Monday, 1 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, next time it's going to be, we're at least going to move it one more day, because we have 29 days, right? So we have 28, so we get back to our starting point. And then an extra day, now we got from Monday, we get to Tuesday. Then we get 12 hours, so from 12 hours takes us from 1 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 793 halakim, which is like 44 minutes. This is it. So if I want to know what will happen 1 month, I want to know what's going to happen the next month. If I know one, I will determine, well, move it up one day, then another 12 hours, and then these 44 minutes, these 793 halakim. That's how I will know from one to the next. That's 1 month. How do I get 1 year? Well, a year, of course, is 12 months. So here we get now paragraph D. The length of the standard 12-month lunar year is 354 days, 8 hours, and 876 halakim. That's just simply by multiplying 12 by the 29 and a half days. But then the difference between 1 year and the next in terms of days, let's just pretend again, Rosh Hashanah, the new moon of Rosh Hashanah came out on Monday early in the morning at 1 o'clock. When will it happen next Rosh Hashanah? So how many weeks? So we have 354 days. Well, once we have 350 days, which is a multiple of 7, we're back to starting point. So after 350 days have occurred, right, we're back to starting point. Again, we are back Monday, 1 o'clock in the morning. But we have an extra 4 days. So we have to add it. So 4, so we add from Monday, right, to Yom Sheni, says we'll get add an extra 4, well, Yom Shishi. Now we're gone to Friday. So now we're Friday, 1 o'clock in the morning. But then we add in 8 hours, and we got, instead of 1 o'clock, we're at 9 o'clock in the morning, and 876 halakim. That's the difference between 1 year and the next. So if it occurs on Monday morning year one, year two will be on Friday. Okay. That's a regular year. But we know that there is something is called the Ibrio. In other words, there's an elongated year, which has 13 months. The reason being, of course, is that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. As you see, regularly it's just 354 days. You're losing some 11 days every year. If you keep going like this, you will go through the seasons. That's exactly what happens in the Muslim calendar. You actually just keep on. There's a difference, and it just keeps on building. So it really, there's no correlation between the lunar calendar, according to the Muslims, and the solar calendar. But we are mandated by law that there should be such a correlation. Pesach happens Chodesh Aviv, in the month of spring. So there is a correlation between the solar and lunar calendar. So for that reason, at regular intervals, and we're going to explain what those intervals are, at regular intervals we add an extra month to the year. If we get, according in this Ibur year, in this extra, this elongated year, the 13-month year, then this is paragraph F, that the length of the Ibra year then is 383 days, because we keep on adding it, 21 hours and 589 halakim or parts. Okay. Now, we go to page 4 then. According to that, if I know one, again, I know that the Rosh Hashanah occurred on, again, Monday morning at 1 o'clock. Well, in the next Rosh Hashanah, they went through a whole 13-month period. It wasn't a simple. So what will I do? So according to what we've done before, I add 5 days instead of 4 days. I add 5 days and 21 hours and 589 halakim. So it will occur, if it occurred on Monday morning at 1 o'clock, this is going to occur on Shabbos. And this is almost, right, it'll become Friday night, but this is from Yom Sheni. Says, and I add 5 days, it becomes Yom HaShvi, Shabbos. Now really, according to this, right, and I add 21, this really will move me to, because of the 21 hours, this will actually move me on to Sunday morning. Let's just take the 1 o'clock didn't work out well. Let's try another one here. Pretend in 1 year, in other words, year A that we're beginning with, Rosh Hashanah came out, the new moon was sighted at 6:30 at night. It's Sunday night, and the new moon was sighted at 6:30 at night. I want to know now, next Rosh Hashanah, when will the new moon occur? What do I do? Well, I know the year is 383 days. So if I keep on going, I want to know what the... I will find that in a period of 383 days, that 378 days is divisible by 7. So I have left over, you know, if I keep on going after week after week after week after week, I get to 378, well, it's another week has passed. I am back again to where I started off, which was Sunday night, 6:30 at night. But now I keep on going. To get to 383 days, I have to keep on adding. So I go now, I add 5 days, 21 hours, and 599 halakim. 5 days, just the 5 days, if I get from Sunday night, right, to this, I will keep me now from Yom Aleph, and that will be Yom Vav. And this one now will be, and from Sunday night, this will be Friday night. So 5 days from just a plain 5 days, we'll get from Sunday night 6:30 to Friday night 6:30. But now I add 21 hours. Adding 21 hours, I get to Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Because I've added now 21 hours to that. So now I'm 3:30 and plus these 589 parts. It'll be like a half hour or so. So this is the basis of how I calculate from year to year. If I know when the Molad is going to be of Rosh Hashanah year A, and if I know this as well, if this is a plain year, well, I'll add. This was on page 3, I'll add as a paragraph E, which is 4 days, 8 hours and 876 halakim. If I know this is an elongated year, and I want to know what's the difference between year A and year B, then I will, this is on page 4, paragraph G, I will add 5 days, 21 hours, and 589 halakim. That's right. But this is, there's a system. If you know one, you will definitely know the other, but that's, you know, this is an easy class. The other one is we didn't get to the hard part yet, so don't worry. Yeah. Okay. Now, how do I know when to make this Ibrayor? When do I make this? You know, some years are yeah, and some years are, well, how do they figure this out? In the time of the, from the time of Moshe, or even before, we have a letter written by Hammurabi that his Beisdin, his court, added an Ibrayor. Because they had the problem also, they had the solar and the lunar calendar, and they also had a system that they kept them together. It was more of an ad hoc type of a system. I mean, it generally worked through, you know, but it would be based not on just a simple calculation, but on other factors in terms of the planting season and how the spring would come out. There would be other factors involved that one could not exactly predict what will happen every year. But around the year 360 of the Common Era, This was towards the end of the period when the Sanhedrin, when the major court of Jewish law, was active in Israel. They created, under the guidance of the Nasi of that Sanhedrin, of the leader of that Sanhedrin, Hillel. He was a 13th generation from the original Hillel, the famous Hillel, Hillel HaGadol. He created a fixed system. Our calendar really is based on that system. And I'm telling you, really, is Hillel's system. And he had... What? This is the second Hillel. And this occurred in the year 360 of the Common Era, approximately. In Hillel's system, which we find a corollary in secular astronomy, which is called the Metonic system, in 19 years, there are 7 added lunar months. In other words, in a normal, over 19 years, if I would just have 12 month years, like regular years, I would get to 228 lunar months. Is that right? As I keep on, 1 is 12, 24, if you keep, believe.
Does he keep on that? You will get to 228. You'll be very far off by that time. But if you add 5, if you add an extra 7, in this period, if you add an extra 7 lunar months, you will basically start where you began. In other words, every 19 years, is within a period of 19 years, if we add, we intersperse 7 extra months, we will really start where we began, and they more or less come together. And this Metonic system, or Hillel system, of the 7 extra months in a 19-year span is the basis of our calendar. And there is a system to it. There is a, as you'll see on paragraph H on page 4, years 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, and 19 are Iber years. So we're going to get, after you get finished this, you can predict which year is always going to be your Iber year as well. Try again. No, that 7 goes together with the other one.
7 years altogether.
Right. Yeah. It is tricky, I'll tell you. Yeah. Then, I can shorten this thing now. If I want to know the days, you know, up until now we said, well, I know from 1 year to the next is 4 days or sometimes 5 days. And I'm not sure which one is a 5, which one is a 4. But now I have a number that I can really predict this. Because I know after 19 years, from one 19 to the other 19, there is a number that will always be the same. And that number is the difference between one cycle and the next. In other words, you keep on going. So again, we'll start with it with the example that we gave. That the beginning of the cycle was Sunday night at 6:30 at night. And now it's 19 years later. And you want to know when is the moilid going to be. Then if you add 2 days, in other words, so from Sunday night, now it turned into Tuesday night, 16 hours. So now we got into Wednesday morning, right? And 595 halakim, you will know that it will occur. If it occurred on Sunday night at 6:30 in one year, it's going to occur now on Wednesday morning. At this would be 10 o'clock. It would be 10:30 and 595 halakim Wednesday morning. So this is how you will know. Get from one. I'm going to give this 19-year cycle from beginning of one to beginning of the other. We add these 2 days, and if you know one, just add those 2 days. You'll know the other. In other words, this is not the thing of the desert yet. But if you just happen to have an old calendar in your house, you don't know what the moilet is. But you just happen to have an old calendar. Let's say they're going to be benching Rosh Chodesh now in this Shabbos, right? And you have an old calendar from 1974. just add this number and check if your shamash did it right. And if he didn't, you have to have a new meeting for the shul. This is the number. Now, up until now, we dealt with small things. 1 year, a regular year, an ibur year, a larger year, 19 years. Now we're going in big numbers now. I want to know, just how do I know what the moilah should be for this year, this last Rosh Hashanah? How do they figure this out? 5,753. How do they get this? How do we know this? First, we know, if we know how much the difference is from 19 years, right? So then we can figure, you know, how many 19-year cycles have passed? You know, if we figure that out, then we got a key. If one passed, I know it's 2 days, right? If two passes, well, then it's, you know, then it's twice as much. It keeps on going. So how many cycles have passed? The second one is, well, now I know how many whole cycles have passed, but this may not, you may not be lucky and get every time you ask the question to be just on that year, you know, when the cycle is. So this may be like 13 years in that cycle, 14 years in the cycle. But if you know this, and if you know how many cycles, you know how many years have passed, really, you don't need me. Because all you have to do is look here, so you know the cycles, just multiply it, you know, two times on paragraph I, right? If you're between one cycle and next, so multiply how many cycles by this number. Right? And then if you know how many others have, you just, as we're going to see, well, then it will be just easy. If you know the Ibra Yor is like 3, 6, 8, 11, you know, so you say, well, how many have, you know, gone through here, you know? I have so many regular ones, so many extra ones. So let's try it now. Let's go now paragraph K. As we said, the year 5,753 means 5,752 years have passed. And if I divide 19, this is why I always tell my kids, you have to know math, you know? If you divide 19 into 5,752, you'll get 302 and a remainder of 14. That means 302 full cycles have passed and plus 14 into the new cycle. Now, L, if we then multiply 2 days, 6 hours, and 595 halakim by 302, we will get 812 days, 6 hours, and 410 halakim. I'm sorry, you know, last year I should have told you to bring your calculators, but yeah. The difference after 302 cycles, then if I, you know, divided this thing to 812 days, and I just wonder how many days of the week. So basically, I just want to know if I started from point A and I get to point B, what day of the week it'll be and how many hours. I get, really, it comes out, it's the same day after 302 cycles. I just get extra 6 hours and 410 halakim. Now, 14 years, now we get to 14 years, right? Because I wonder how many have passed. In 14 years, if you look, which one on paragraph H, you see? Which one is the Ibra Yor 3, 6, 8, 11, and 14? Right? So there have been five extra ones, elongated ones. And 14, there are five, so then there are nine regular ones. So there's nine regular lunar years and five Ibra years. If we go down to O, paragraph O, if we multiply 9, there's a regular ones, and we have a number for regular ones, right? 4 days, 8 hours, and 876 halakim. Right? So we get that number from that, and then we're going to add to that, we're going to do another calculation, because we want to know what the Ibra ones are. What are the Ibra ones? 5 times, 5 days, 21 hours, and 589 halakim. If we add those, we have the what comes out is the answer for the nine, this one, and the answer for that one, we will get 68 days, 19 hours, and 29 halakim. And when we convert that, we will get, this is P, 5 days, 19 hours, and 29 halakim. The difference then, after 302 cycles plus 14 years, which is adding P to M, is 6 days, 1 hour, and 439 halakim. Now, if once I have that, where? I added P to M. Now, this is how much time has elapsed, 6 days, 1 hour. If I keep on going the cycles, right, 7 day cycle. I want to know, in the 7 day cycle, how much am I in the 7 days? And I say, 6 days into this cycle. That's good if I started off at zero. But if you remember, we did not start at zero. This is why there's important, now you can see the importance of having that constant, this theoretical constant of Baharad. Baharad means it's the second day, not 2 days have passed. The Bays means it's just Monday, and there's one full day that's passed. It's on Monday, this again is a theoretical number, but just for our calculations is important. It says 5 hours, right, and Reish Dalet, 204 Halakim. So if we add that, the 5 hours and 204 Halakim, right, because Bays is really, it's 1 day, again, this is Baharad, so it's Yom Sheni, so it's 1 day has passed, right, and 5 hours, we get, that's because then we will add from the 6 days, right, we get 1 day, right, because 1 day has passed, so 6 days is zero, right, 7 days have passed, we're starting from nothing. Right? 5 hours to the 1 hour, we get 6 hours. And 204 to the 439, we get 643. Which is the Moilot for Rosh Hashanah. And I went through all these calculations, and lo and behold, I looked at my calendar, it was right, and I couldn't believe it. 6 hours, yeah, this would be 6 hours to be after Shkia, that's right. Based on this, the Moilot for Shvat, which was the last three weeks ago, right? Is because, if I want to know what Shvat is, that's fine, but what's Shvat? And that's the last month. Well, if I know, there's Tishrei, huh? How's the word? There's Tishrei, Cheshvan, this is a past. Tishrei and Cheshvan, Kislev and Teves pass before Shvat begins. So 4 months pass, right? So how many, then if I want to just how much it goes up? Well, every day, every month, it's going to go a day, 12 hours, and so many halakim, right? So it goes, well, that's 1 month, then 2 months, and 3 months, and 4 months. So I multiply 4 times 1 day, 12 hours, 793 halakim, right? Plus, I get the 6 hours, which is Rosh Hashanah, and 643 halakim. Then the Moilot for Shvat would be then 6 days. In other words, it would be six days, 9 hours, and 575 halakim. Which is, that 6 days have passed. In other words, how much have if I multiply it, 4 times 1 in 12 hours, 1.5 times 4 is 6, right? Right, so that's where you get the 6 hour. You get the 6 days, right? And the 793 halakim, right? It comes out if you multiply four would be 6 hours. But if you go to T corrects in here, the Moilot for Shvat then would be 6 days, right? Because that would be the six, right? The 9 hours and 575 halakim. Is if you add from the 6 hours, really, when you multiply 4 times the 793 halakim, right, which you're going to get close to 3 hours, and that adds plus the 6 hours, and that's how it comes out to 9 hours, 575 halakim, which is, if you want to, translate that, which would be those 575 halakim are 31 minutes and 17 halakim. Or, as it comes out, 6 days have passed means 6 whole days have passed, so we're getting to Shabbos, right? 9 hours, we're into Shabbos 9 hours, means assuming that, let's say the Shabbos would be six, so 9 hours comes out, the 9 hours comes out to 3 in the morning, right? And plus these 575 halakim, just work out well to 31 minutes and 17 halakim, and that's what came at 317 and 17 halakim, and that's what they announced in shul. So So this is the S. There was a slight error. We didn't have the hours. Now it's with 6 days. There was a problem with the hours. I take all responsibility for this error. Yeah. But this basically then is the key how to calculate, to make the calculations for the new moon. But you have to realize that all of this is based because I've assumed that is today's date. And why I assume it's today's date is, again, looking back on page 1 and page 2, because looking through the various dates that are recorded in the Chumash, right, or in the Navi, or in the Seder Olam, and those in the Midrash, so that I have these dates to work on. And that was the basis how Hillel, HaKotan, and there's Hillel the younger, says in the year 359, the year 360, with the Sanhedrin, made our calendar. So it comes out that these years are really what we've gone through and studied. These calculations, how long did the temple last, how long, are not just merely the way we live life, and when our Yontif is, and when Rosh Hashanah is all affected by the history that we've been studying up until now. So when we're wondering how long did the Persian era last, it's not just a question of academics. It really impacts on the calendar, or at least we'll put it this way: that those who created the calendar base their calculations on their understanding of this history, and that's how they got to the numbers they got to. I would just like, as the next just a few minutes, to touch upon, and we'll have the questions and answers. By the way, it says that, just to realize, I know that we went, it wasn't all that easy. You know, you have this to look at on your own, you can take your calculator at home and to go through this, but this is a very often overlooked area of Jewish studies, and it's a and really everything you need is really on these sheets of paper. I would just like just to briefly touch, and really this would be the topic of not one lecture but a whole series of lectures, about the age of the earth as it relates to our calendar. Again, if you just know, one of the most often asked questions is the world, according to, we actually believe that the world is only 5,753 years. It would seem that there's much compelling evidence that would seem to point otherwise, that the world is in fact much, much older. I would like just to touch upon, and really again, a subject like this really is the whole idea of dating goes far beyond what we can cover just in a few minutes, but I just want to touch upon just a few things and leave you with a few things. First of all, it's important to note that there are three schools of thought when it comes in terms of the dating of the earth in Jewish sources, and there's a correlation with what we call in Christian sources, Lahabdal. One is the idea that the 6 days that were used in the creation epic are eras and not days. There's one school of thought like that. In other words, when they say one day, they're saying about eras, epics. There's a similar theory that assumes that the dating of those five first days were dated by this primeval light. In other words, that there was this light that shone at least the first days. The beginning of the Torah begins with the third verse is that Hashem said, "Let there be light." This light, which is unlike the light that we have now, that expanded, so to speak, that shone and then faded, and then shone again the next day, then faded again, could have worked on a system different than the system that we have that's governed by our solar system. So those fadings and on and off could have taken an awful long time. Whereas the Earth itself would have been able to go around the sun and would have made thousands and thousands of revolutions, but the Earth, this primal light that's still shining or is fading, would have been the standard of calculation in that period. It's, again, this is a, it would take really too long. No, the question only really came into the late 19th century, 20th century. And both Christian theologians and Lahavdol, the Jewish scholars, took positions, which we would say these are the basic three positions that they took. The one is we are dealing with eras and not with exact times. As you see, though, in terms of the calculations we've made and the whole shear that we've had, the basis, we've assumed that we've dealt with real days, and that's all. So this school of thought would say, yes, we are dealing with eras, but it's still, we could still work with a theoretical construct of Baharad, even though it's not necessarily true, but still for our calculations it wouldn't make a difference. Because from the time that Adam came on this earth, the years are actual years, we're dealing with actual, the time that we have now. We know when the molad was, when Adam came on this planet. So even if we work backwards and we don't take a literal view, but we still use these numbers and calculations. But how it's commonly understood, though, these numbers that we're dealing with are real numbers. Those 5 days are just 5 days, and Baharad really was a number that there was real no time attached to it. According to this theory, there was really a time, and there was life on Earth, and there's a year before Adam came onto this planet, because we're dealing with eras and not with actual days. And especially we'll have even a more difficult time when we deal with the sixth day of Adam, if we're dealing with an era, because this is the time when mammal life came on this planet and primate life, and we're dealing with millions of years. Then how can we calculate the molad for that last day before the Shabbos? But again, as I repeat, our calculations are based on, at least the Sanhedrin or Hillel who made the calculations, are based on a literal view of those 5 days. But there is a school of thought, both in the Jewish and non-Jewish world, that would read a non-literal explanation of those 5 days. Or I said alternately, it could be literal in terms of we deal with the lights, you know, there's this primal light. It could possibly have a literal meaning as well, but they would be awfully long days, and they would not correlate with our earthly 24-hour day. That's one school of thought. There's a second school of thought, which would be called as the traditional or fundamental school of thought. This is by fundamental Christians. This is the creationist school. Lahavdol says, as many from me didn't believe this, that we're dealing with numbers as we have them. There's, again, 5,753 years. That's all there is. The fact is that there's indications that life on this planet was here for a very long time are explained in ingenious ways. And this is really the work of what we call the scientific creationists. They understand that what we have here, the fossil remains, remains of, we'll say, numerous catastrophes on this planet very long, which occurred over what seem to be eons of time, are a result of catastrophes, disasters, the flood, the exodus, various things that were of such massive nature that would normally have taken millions of years, but were compacted, though, in just thousands. And that really is, it's a fascinating literature, that of the biblical, the scientific creationists, if you ever have the chance to look at them. The most prominent, I guess, who's written on the subject, those who are familiar, is Rabbi Avigdor Miller Shlita, who's written in some of his works, Rejoice, O Youth, and others, that has taken that view. There's a third school of thought, which is, again, which has its... we find in Christian sources and Lahavdol in Jewish sources, we best call the creation gap theory. And this is the most prominent that I've seen, who's an exponent of this theory, is the author of the Tiferes Yisrael, of Mishnayos of Yisrael Lifshitz. He takes the view that truths is that when we deal with the 6 days of creation, we're dealing with six actual days, 24-hour days, just as the assumption that we have with the calculations we've made here. However, there's what is known as the creation gap. The first verse in the Torah reads, "In the beginning God created heaven and earth." Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz. Then there's the second verse. The world was in a state of chaos, was unformed. Between verse 1 and verse 2 could possibly be billions of years. The beginning means in the beginning, in the hoary past, God created heaven and earth. That's a fact. Now the story to date. Now, this basically is, verse 2 is, now, as we begin our story now, the world is unformed. All that happened between verse 1 and verse 2 is not told to us in the Torah. In fact, they understand this, the Torah understands this, to be the meaning of what is said, that there's a Gemara in Chagiga, there's a Mishnah in Chagiga, that says that one is not allowed to contemplate what occurred before. And before is understood to be the period before Tohu Vavohu. And the Gemara explains in Chagiga Tes Zayin, it says makes a corollary analogy to a king that built a palace on what was originally a garbage heap. And someone is going through the palace and visiting and is looking and is beautiful and is looking at the floor and asks the king, what's below this? He says, it's not dignified. You don't ask those kinds of questions. Like as if the world itself was built on a garbage heap. And we don't deal with what the material that was on this planet when the story began on verse 2. That's not our camp. That's not what we deal with. But according to this, there really was life before. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Much happened. And now our story has it that the world is unformed and we have now a recreation. According to Tiferes Yisroel, and he quotes the Mekubalim, the Balika, the mystic scholars, this is the fourth cycle of life on this planet. This is the second cycle of man on this planet. Man, according to, was here before. And at Tiferes Yisroel, and based on these are Kabbalistic notions, which are alluded to in the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechaya, he says, going to Rabbeinu Bechaya, that just like there's, we know that there's 7 years. There's 6 years you work the land, and the seventh year is a Shabbos, is a Shvius, is a Shemitah. You let the land lay fallow. You don't work the land. 6 days we work, Shabbos we rest. There's seven sevens. You know, in terms of the working the land, there are seven cycles of 6 years work. The seventh lay it to rest. And then we have the Jubilee year. According to these authorities, there's the same equivalent cycle we find in the thousands of years of this planet. According to the Medrash Tanna Ve'Elyo, which is quoted in the Gemara Avodah Zarah and Daf Tes, that this world will only last, as we know, for 6,000 years, at least as the opinion of that Medrash. And then there will be a period of rest of another 1,000 years. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that this is not the only thing, but it's part of a cycle. And there will be seven cycles of life and death and rebirth. So and the Tiferes Yisroel just alludes that this is the opinion that he quotes, is this is the fourth of such cycles. And he supports his view, the Tiferes Yisroel, which is a Kabbalistic view, which is an ancient view, by the fossil evidence. According to him, the fossils are remains of not what happened before the flood, even though maybe some of it is, but really are remains of what happened on these previous cycles of life on Earth. So according to Tiferes Yisroel, then, really both are both really what we have, the scientific dating of the age of the Earth in billions of years, and what would be called the traditional dating system, and we're dealing with just 5,700 years, are really are not
in conflict. That's Ferris Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz. Lifshitz. He lived 150 years ago.
And was there a Torah that the other
created? No. Oh, so he just says this is the first year of Torah. And that's why he says the corollary of the fourth day when the light shone, this is the fourth cycle when light shone, the Torah came onto this earth. So he brings this is the first cycle of Torah. Again, you know, who is to prove, you know, but it's a fascinating thing, and it is supported by at least some tradition. I was shown once, and interestingly, by a work written by the Abarbanel, which I don't know if it's in print now, and this person got it from this library who he assumed was out of print. Now, he's shown the Abarbanel maintains that this idea of the seven cycles in the 50 year are an ongoing occurrence, just like the Jubilee year, you know, that keeps on going 50 year cycle, year, you know, cycle after cycle, so to speak, that this thing from beginning to end in this cycle is repeated ad infinitum. You know, which is an interesting, I don't know if it's on this planet here, but the idea of thing, which is an interesting, it's an interesting concept.
We hope you enjoyed this lecture. For more information about this lecture series and to order our audio cassettes and the accompanying outlines, please write to the Jewish Heritage Foundation, 15220 West Lincoln, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237.